Ronaldo! Cecco, ma vattene! Ma dai! Dai, che non c'era il manco più il portiere! Butti la palla fuori! Ma dai! Partiene! Vedi che tiro che ha fatto! Palla alle stelle! È arrivata a Trieste il pallone!
Now recording.
Sounds like I'm watching like Scooby-Doo or something.
Oh my god, yeah, exactly. It's like slightly edited to sound a little bit electric when it's a ghost. Shout out to Greg. What would we do without you? You would have to pay one of those programs.
Are you saying G-Reg or C-Reg?
Oh shit, did I say Greg? Oh my god, it's yeah. Greg. Wow. Yeah. I was distracted by watching the replay. I was actually thinking about something. Alright.
If cats wore pants, would they wear them over their back legs or like over all four legs?
No, I was thinking about Basili. We'll get there. It's fine. No worries. So, we good to go?
Oh, that was the intro.
Was it? Maybe. Welcome to Roma Happens Podcast, season 4, episode 9. We just finished Sunday's game. Yeah, you weren't here last year to make that joke. We just finished Sunday's set of matches, and Roma's won, spoiler alert, and Juventus might be losing a coach very soon, which I'm scared shitless, because what happens when Juventus gets Spalletti? please no. How have you been, Char?
I've been good. I got to watch Roma for the first time in a long time, and then I don't have to make stuff up out of my ass this time.
Don't say that. I mean, you followed by watching highlights and replays, which is honestly just the run that Roma has been on the past month is like you could have taken any game from the Jose era and just be like, yeah, I know exactly what happened. You didn't miss anything. It was not good. But yeah, we're back to winning ways, which one goal. Are we worried about Roma's scoring, or are we saying, oh, look, we're managing to win somehow despite literally having not figured out anything or not having figured out anything?
Yes, Bernaccio.
Shout out to whoever said that. That's a great,
not me.
Great line. It wasn't you?
No, that was somebody else.
Okay. So, Gasper, that. I don't know. I if somebody asked me, do you expect Roma to have 8 goals after 8 rounds? I would be like, well, probably, yeah. You know, like 3-4 games we don't score, but then a couple of games we score like 2 or 3 goals. Like, yeah, I could see it happening. I would not see Roma winning every single game by 1-0, except 2 games that we lost. I genuinely did not. Like, that is weird. Do you have a theory? Do you have a why that happens, or can I go on with mine? I'm genuinely curious to hear what you think.
Why we only score 1 goal?
Per game, yeah.
Because if they score more than 1 goal, Dan and Ryan Friedkin will kick a puppy.
Huh. I mean, we didn't score against Torino and Inter, but we did score 2 against Fiorentina and Verona. Verona. And, no, I think that they're... I think we just today saw the first inclinations of Gasperini's system. Where people are like, why are midfielders playing fullbacks? Why are fullbacks playing center forwards? Why is our central defender playing attacking midfield? Why is there, what is Dybala even playing? Like, yeah, that's quintessential Gasperini. Basically yeah, everyone's kind of playing out of position, but not really. It's just more like they have a purpose. They just don't know how to move, but they're kind of starting to absorb that. And it's kind of weird because on one hand, who did we play again? Oh, Sassuolo. Jesus.
Ass in Sassuolo.
Yeah. We saw that. We saw some organization. We saw some strategy and some tactics, and we could pinpoint and be like, aha, this is what's working. We can analyze that. Like, I'll be watching a replay tomorrow because I'm still waiting for my new job to begin. So I'll watch the replay tomorrow and just be like, huh, that's interesting. Whereas in game that happened on Thursday against a beer brand, but what's there to analyze? Oh, look, Dybala and Sula switched sides for the seventh time in the first 15 minutes. Or like, the guy scored from 35 yards out. Who's supposed to pick him up? Because I watched that replay just now about 40 times. I genuinely have no idea who's supposed to pick him up. It's like, LA Naoi is making a run into our box to cover one guy, but Mancini's supposed to cover him, then he didn't. But like, Mancini's not supposed to run out to 35 yards. Zhukovsky is there. Was he supposed to pick up a midfielder who was about to shoot from 35 yards? Like, no, it was Celik, but Celik went to the side to pick up somebody else. Like, what? What is happening?
I like how the other team, Victoria Pilsen there, just kept charging at Zhukovsky the whole time he was on, all 30 minutes of it. They're like, oh, we're going to just go and go and go. And then it was funny because the fan base turned on him in the comments I was reading while I was at work. They're like,
I mean,
this kid's got to go with Basile. He has to go to the bench. This kid is unsustainable. It's like,
you know why?
The other
you
team. Know why?
He made the exact same foul as Basile, dude. The exact same foul. He even tried to pull down the guy after he ran past him. I forgot the name, the Prince guy. And Prince just didn't fall because he's just big, giant fucking dude who, I don't know why he's playing football. He could be a fucking wrestler or something. Play an NFL. He just didn't fall because he basically didn't feel Zhukovsky. But yeah. Same fall. Exact same fall, dude. Enjoy the bench.
Yeah, but people were just, oh, Zhukovsky has to like go train on his own or something. He's just not it. And everybody was praising him in the match against Inter for being aggressive, and then he's aggressive, and then people are like, wait a minute, I don't like this. Do you want to injure people in the league, or do you want to injure people in Europe? But I like the kid's motor. He just goes all out. He's like you said, this is what he was doing at Legia Warsaw, so he should, like, this. He's only what, 19? This is gonna be, yeah, he's gonna develop and get and hone his skills, but right now the raw talent that I see, like, kid's got potential. And it's funny because everybody all of a sudden liked the kid and then got his start and then didn't like him so much. But the Europa League match was one to forget about because I had just posted a stat that Roma was third in least amount of goals conceded this season in all competitions in the top five leagues, which somebody with no critical reading comprehension skills was like, what about Karabakh? They have less goals than Roma. Like, I didn't know Karabakh was in the fucking top five leagues there, Chief.
Hey, man, you don't think Azerbaijan is a top league in Europe? All right. You don't even think they're in Europe? Yeah, I agree. So,
I like Karabakh because of the thing that we got to go see. That was pretty cool.
What?
When we got to tour the Partizan trophy room, and they had the sabers that were presented from Karabakh.
Dude, I completely forgot about three. Why didn't we?
Dude, that's like one of my core memories. It's like, hey, Sabres from Azerbaijan, because it's customary to give gifts to from teams and stuff. And they're like, yeah, here's some Sabres. I'm like, this is so cool.
That is awesome. Do you think that Roma has the same thing?
I don't think they have Sabres. Like, I think Roma probably gives like Cacio e Pepe or something like that. Here's some Perella pasta and some olive oil.
Broken bonsai trees.
Here's a bonsai Lego set. You could make it how you want.
I remember when we played Karabakh in Champions League, and it was like, we should be running over these guys, and then we scored an early goal. It's like, yeah, it's gotta be like 7-0. We were like pressed by them the whole game. They were amazing. They were genuinely amazing. And I remember they took a scalp of somebody else as well. That was the year we made that run to the semifinals, because I'm pretty sure they beat Atletico Madrid in Madrid, or they beat Chelsea or something like. No, Chelsea beat them like 6-2, and then they went or 6-1, something like that. And then they went to like I don't know. I don't remember exactly. I just know that there were teams like laughing at people, and I was like, these guys are really fucking good. Like, this is a really good team. You're underestimating anybody who thinks that they're weak is underestimating them. And then they were like, Atletico. I think they beat Atletico twice, actually. I think that's what happened. Anyway, yeah. Zhukovsky, I just want to swing back to that, because you said that people are now ragging on him that he needs to go to bench. It was just a joke, because he made the exact same foul as Pesilio did that got him benched for a month. And it was just kind of like, yeah, enjoy the bench, bro. Like, the Gasperini is going to see this and just be like, fuck, I have two of these now. I just think...
He probably turned around. Like, he saw the foul and was turned around. Nope, Pasilio's still there.
I've seen people say that Zhukovsky is weak in the air. It's like he's won every single duel except that one where he just, like, I don't know, it happens that the defender misjudges a flight to the ball, and then he tried to win, and then it turns out the dude is like just made of muscle and he's way stronger and faster than Zhukovsky, which is fine. Like, he's 18 years old. So wait, is he 18 or 19? I'm pissed now. Jan Zhukovsky.
20. He's 20, and he is 1.94 meters.
Yeah, slightly. Like, he's 1 centimeter shorter than me. Cool.
Yeah, so how could he be, like, weak in the air?
I mean, you need to have strength to, you know, wrestle somebody for the position, even when you're jumping, and... He didn't. I don't know. I don't think he's weak in there. He's won almost every single aerial duel from what I've seen. I don't know the stats. Don't want to look into the stats. I just never got the feel. Like, I just didn't get the feeling that he's weak in the air. So I don't think that's it. He just got outplayed. It happens. Whatever. We just didn't look very good. I hope he doesn't get benched forever, because Gasperini does not like a lot of these. So. He might be just stuck with Hermoso. By the way, I would take either Gilardi or Zhukovsky conceding goals at the expense of just not having to play Hermoso. I don't even dislike Hermoso. I just, like, he costs us 6.5 million a year. Gross. Why are we? He's 31 years old. Why? He's not the future of this team. We don't need him. We need to grow the talent. I don't know.
Do we need to grow the talent, or does the talent need to grow Roma?
It sounded stupid when you said it, but then I gave it half a second of thought, and it's actually quite nice. Good one. I like that. I really like
it. I don't want to grow the talent, because if we grow the talent, that means that people are going to come in, scoop in, and be like, hey... How's our favorite supermercado? And we're going to be like, Roma isn't a supermarket. It's an open-air farmer's market.
You know what's funny? Right after that game, the next day or the same evening, I forget, I saw news from Italian media saying Inter is sizing up Roma defender for 20 million. I was like, who? And DK doesn't cost 20 million, so I opened the news that it's Joukowsky's picture. And they're like,
and then they'll turn around and sell him to Atalanta for 40, like they did with the last Polish player they bought from us.
Yeah. No, but it's like, out of favor defender is still very young and very has highly perspective career, whatever the fuck phrase is. What do you mean, out of favor? He just. He could have that in the 30th minute because we were down 2 goals. We needed fucking goals. It's like he put a forward. It's not that Gasperini was like, this kid is retarded. I'm just, oh shit, I need to edit that.
It's not like Gasperini was like, developmentally challenged.
This kid is developmentally challenged. I need to put him on the bench, whatever you've done. We just like, we needed goals. That's it. He's not out of favor. We just brought him in. Jesus Christ. Italian media, dude. Whatever.
I'm kind of fed up with it because, like, I wanna go over something that I heard in previous podcasts. You're like, Evan Ferguson's not gonna score by October, and this is gonna be a problem. It's already, it's the end of October, basically.
We have a game in 3 days.
Guy hasn't scored.
We have a game in 3 days, bro. There is a chance.
Yeah, but I'm looking at, like, I have some apps, and they give me news, and I see things like, Roma wants to sell both strikers in January and go get Joshua Zirkzee. Like, why? Why? People on Reddit are asking, who do you want to see in January come in? I'm like, why don't we just keep Dovbyk and Ferguson? Even though they're not scoring, we're still finding ways to win without our strikers scoring, which is interesting because I would expect that the people who are paid to put the ball in the net would be good at it. But it seems like Dovbyk today against Sassuolo almost had 2 assists if they just bounced a little bit differently. One of them was an assist almost to Pellegrini, who then hit the woodwork. So, which we haven't seen a whole lot of recently, Roma hitting the woodwork, which is nice because it feels like I've seen them do that a whole lot in the previous iterations. But Dovbyk providing assists would be good. I don't know if Ferguson has, like, if Ferguson, I don't know, didn't hold the door open for the rest of the team in training and Gasperini noticed, but he hasn't played in a while. So, and then we have this Dybala false nine going on, which he scored today, which is good. I take back all the mean things I said about him, but it was a really good goal too. Like, I don't think I could get my leg that high without tearing a muscle. Who do you think impressed out of the players in the Europa League? Defeat.
I mean, look, I genuinely try. I'm not trying to make a meme. I'm not trying to make a joke. I genuinely try to be as rational as possible. I always give people a chance, even Pellegrini or Cristante or Mancini, who, I mean, it's well documented, I don't like them. I'll always give them a chance to be good. I'll say we know what's coming, but like, if you're good, great. And then I want to see the same next game, and then I want to see the same in the third game. If you give me 3 games of playing well, I'll believe that you might be turning it around. Cristante was fantastic today, by his standards. Pellegrini was also really good in a way, in the limited minutes. And it's like, okay, but show me that next game as well. So, what I'm trying to say is I am not trying to like push a narrative or something. I genuinely thought when Pesili was introduced on Thursday, we changed. Dybala was dog shit. I am not ashamed to say Dybala was absolute dog shit in the first half. Sula was fucking invisible. Everybody was just not playing well. Like, we just weren't a good team. I've seen somebody say that we played well in the second part of the first half. I'm like, were you watching the game? No. Victoria Pilsner beer players were just walking around in the whole first half. They had nothing to do. They were just watching Roma being like, I can't believe these guys are this bad. Like, what are their salaries? And then Pisila came on, and then Dybala was suddenly good, and then suddenly ball was moving forward, and we could play quick, we could play crisp. Players had passing options. There were people being like moving around. There were possessions where Pisila is moving around, and one Pilsen player picks him up. Pelic sees that he has a mile of space, and he starts moving. Another Pilsner player picks him up. Then Kone is finally free to do something, passes the ball to Dybala, and Pilsen defense is just like, who's got him? It's fucking Paulo Dybala. Hello? That's what Pisila brought. Like, he's just moving. In the first half, nobody was moving. Not a single player was interested in moving. Like, nobody wanted to play. People just didn't want to play. And then, I mean, that's what they looked like. And then Pisila comes on, and we just look fluid. For me, that was the game changer. And he won us the penalty, which... I mean, nobody's saying this, and I haven't seen a single comment about the fact that he would have missed the header so hard. He smashed it into the ground right underneath him, because he just overjumped. How do you overjump such a simple cross? Like, his finishing is the worst finishing I've ever seen in my life. I don't know what the fuck. We got lucky that he hit the arm. We got a penalty, and then in the end, you're like, oh, he scored a goal, but it was offside. Not at any point of the whole possession did Pisila look where defense is. He was just like, oh my god, I'm open, oh, holy shit, here's the ball, I'm gonna score, I scored, ah! And they look at the replay, and he's just like looking at the ball. He had no clue where the defense was. So, like, I get why he's not playing, but at the same time, stuff happens when he plays. Like, good stuff happens when he plays. And Kone hasn't been himself. Niall El Aynawi, again, kind of, I don't know, people say that he's not very good. To me, he looked like very, very, very good. So, I don't know. It's hard to say who's been really good in Europa so far. I like Pisili in the previous game. I thought he changed the tempo for us. Not enough, way too late. But I don't know. It's hard to say who played well in a defeat. I think Dybala had a really good second half. I think Pisila was good in the second half. I think there were some moments that we could have scored. I think Dovbik was really, really bad. Oh my god, I think Dovbik literally was just aching. If you watch the game, he looked like a robot. He looked like C-3PO. It was like, he's stiff usually, but this was just next level stiffness. He was just, whoo, give that boy some rest, as he got today. That's my answer to your very simple question, which I could have answered with one word.
Well, looking at the Europa League and seeing how things shaped up, remember how we said, like, we couldn't really see anybody, like, really going toe-to-toe with Roma. Maybe, like, Aston Villa or something like that. Mm-hmm. Roma's currently 23rd in the second-to-last spot for the playoff. And the top of the table is Midtjylland and Braga and Lyon.
Lyon. And Victoria Plzeň is fifth, sharing fourth spot
with a Dynamo Zagreb.
The thing is, it kind of doesn't matter. You basically need one win to proceed, kind of, if you really think about it.
You know what would be nice is if Roma didn't have to go through the playoffs for once in their freaking European existence.
But does it feels matter?
They would rather. I've brought this up because people were like, oh, back in the Jose era, they had a playoff something. And they're like, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, we can go and do the playoff. Why would you want to go play an extra 90 minutes prospectively, you know?
You want my personal response?
It doesn't matter.
No, I want to see this team playing more. Like, that's my selfish thought. But
I want to see the team play.
I want to get more practice. That's all.
Yeah, but at that same time, you're throwing European hopes and title dreams away, or prospectively.
I think nobody in this competition is on Roma's level if we keep growing and developing, and if we get serious, and if we don't have Gasperini switching players from side to side every 2 minutes and switching their positions. Why? Look, I don't understand. Can I rant?
I don't know. This is our podcast. You can do what we want.
No, I'm taking over your point, and that's what I don't want to do, but at the same time...
Yeah, go ahead. I don't care.
So, Wesley started on the left on Thursday, and Celik started on the right. Why in the fuck are you playing Celik as a right wing back? That's number one. Why is Wesley playing on the left? You have Divine Wrench, who already played there, and he's actually pretty good. You have Tsimikas, who actually can play there. You can also put Hermoso there, and also you can put Stefan El Shaarawy there. So, because he actually played left wing back many times for Roma. So that's number one. And then he started switching them. Like, when we consider the first goal, or the second, I actually forgot now. Wesley was switched to the right, and somebody else went to the left. I don't know if it's Celik or whatever. Dybala started on the left, Sula started on the right, and then... No, sorry, Sula started on the left, Dybala on the right. And then 5 minutes in, they switched because it wasn't working. It's like 5 minutes. You get 5 minutes. And then switched them again. And then again, and then again. And then it's like... I'm sorry, was there a strategy? Hey, switch sides every couple of minutes. Just do whatever the hell you want. Just like, you guys are Argentinians, you can figure it out. Like, was that a strategy? Why did Nail Elanowi play central defender? And then, at the same time, Mancini basically didn't even go back to defense for about 97% of the game. That's not, like... Okay, I understand you're trying to implement a new strategy, but why this way? Why play literally everybody out of position? Like, was that on purpose? Were we supposed to fall apart like this? Like, why not do this in an away game? Why not say, hey, Olympico is actually, you know, our pride, we're going to try hard here. And then we go to an away game and just be like, fuck it, everybody plays wrong positions. So why was... I just don't understand. Why did you, when we were chasing a lead, why would you take Sola off for Ndika? I get there is a strategic, like, deployment there because Wesley ended up playing central defender at some point. But then you bring on Ndika to take that role so that you can free up Wesley to play whatever. Why do it that way? It's kind of like if you're driving a car and you see a red light and you brake to stop at the red light, you don't have to do a fucking donut and then drift into the red light. Just drive normally. I don't know. It's not difficult. You just go up to the line, slowly braking, and then as you reach the traffic light, you stop. You don't need to drift into a donut. And I'd be like, I'm standing, but I'm changing my sides. Ha, I'm also going to this lane. Now I'm in this. Now I'm in the back to the middle. Why? Why do any of this thing? It's just so fucking weird. And it didn't work. Were we supposed to learn something from that? Were the players supposed to learn something from that? Or what was supposed to happen? What was the goal of that? Do the old school, not old school, the new era movie trope of like, forget everything you know, or forget everything you think you know, haha, this is a new movie, but also you've seen it a million times. Forget that you're playing football and just swap your positions around. Like, I'm sorry, like, have them execute one simple thing in a game and just be like, please, just I want to see this one thing. And then he takes Zhukovsky off at 30 minutes and to put on El Shaarawy. Like, why? El Shaarawy, who hasn't played for about a month and a half, and you're like, this is my solution. El Shaarawy is there is moments where you're supposed to say, hey, this coach knows better than me. And then there's moments when you're like, this, you're not making a soup. You're putting glue and wood and oil and carrots and also peeing in the pot. Like, I don't trust that you're making a soup, you know? You're allowed to say that when you see somebody peeing in the pot. You're just like, that's suspicious. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, you're making sense. I have something I want to say, but I think it's really harsh and not tasteful, so I won't say it. But
no, do it.
I'm pretty sure for the Europa League, Gasperini's letting some Make-A-Wish kids come up with the squad. Why would you flip everybody around like that? The only people that can do something is that is like some brain damage. He probably had like a one of those mobile football tactics boards, and his grandkids are like, "Do you have any games on your phone?" And switched it around. Just went with it.
Just for the record, we're not saying Gasperini's grandchildren have brain damage. We're just saying it's either that or this. Because that's the only explanation. How the fuck do you come up with Celik starting on right wing back and Wesley on the left wing back? And then you swap them.
Unless you're trying to do some like Johan Cruyff total football type of bullshit where you want everybody out of position to go learn other people's positions. That's the only thing I can think of.
Your Dutch imitation or accent is just sounding a little bit effeminate.
What's wrong with that? That's like, I'd never met a masculine Dutch person in my life.
Have you seen the scuffle between Real Madrid and Barcelona? The only thing I noticed in the whole thing, like the first thing, and the only thing I could pay attention to was just Frankie de Jong trying to just be like, hey guys, come on, calm down, come on, please. Just being gentle with like people trying to fight and screaming at each other. He's just like, come on, man, please. I don't know. You can't find aggressive Dutch people is the point, I guess.
The last time they were aggressive, they ended up declaring independence from Spain.
Dutch people?
Yeah, they were like
Netherlands?
Wicked aggressive. Yeah. Yeah, back, this is 2 years ago now. I was over in the Netherlands with my dad, and we went to the Rijksmuseum, their cultural center, kind of like the U.S.'s Smithsonian Museum. And yeah, they had a great display about Dutch independence from Spain. It was really cool.
Eighty Years' War. What the
Yeah. How do I know more about this than you? You live over in that general vicinity.
I don't know the history of the entire fucking Europe, dude. It's like 50 nations and 700 different cultures that all had wars. I still don't know what Prussia is.
I know that like some guy...
Is it Germany?
Sorry. I know that some guy was born in Belgrade and started making like electric cars, and Elon Musk bought his company. That's all I know.
Ah, he wasn't born in Belgrade. That's the problem. He was born in Croatia. But Croatia back then was like the Serbian people lived there. It was considered like Serbian land. But today that's Croatia, and it also belonged to Austria back then. So, haha. So Croatians say that he's from Croatia, and Serbs say he's Serbian. And Tesla himself said he's just a naturalized American. So.
Tesla's like, screw both of you. I hate you both.
Tesla spent like 8 hours in Serbia in his whole life, like actual Serbian territory. So,
neat. So I have more time in Serbia than Nikola Tesla. Interesting.
Basically, yeah. Literally.
Actually.
I think based on the past 5 minutes, I don't think Spotify is going to publish this podcast. This is getting deleted. So what were you saying? So why would you just do all these things? Just, it's so weird. It is just insane. And then he was like, I don't know. After the game, he said, Gasperini said that we need our strikers to score more. It's like, of all the things you could have thought of saying, just going into the press conference and saying, it would make more sense than fucking saying our strikers need to score more. Bro, are you kidding me? On this whole season, Dovbyk's XG is like 1.79. And that's with Inter header that he missed, which was like 0.7. Dovbyk for the whole season has less, has like one XG. Like, come on, man. Bacil, yes, yes, that's a great player. I'm sure that's how you pronounce. Anyway, whatever. Gasperini blames strikers, says that they need to score more. And here is my rationalization of this.
Maybe. Oh shit, the strikers need to score more. They haven't scored. I think Dovbyk has like two. And one Ferguson goal. Has none.
Dovbyk has one goal.
One goal.
I think maybe he's trying to tell them, hey, be cocky. Get pissed off at your teammates for not giving you the ball. Go out there and want to score. Like, I think maybe that's the message he's sending them. And this is me giving Gasperini benefit of the doubt. Not because I've wanted Gasperini for so long, but because, like, maybe it's a process. Maybe it's, you know, what we've been saying the first month and a half. It's a process. It's going to be fine. They need to learn. This club needs to change. It takes 6 months to change mentality of a team. From the previous coach, like, I don't know, maybe he's just like trying to give them a message of like, just go out there, be assholes, be cunts, be selfish, scream at Cristante for not giving you the ball, scream at Pellegrini for not giving you the ball. Like, I want you to want to score, because Dovbyk is that definitely guilty of just being the guy who just like, I can score, but I'm gonna pass. And like, why would you fucking pass? You're in front of the goal, but no goalkeeper there. So yeah. And then Ivan Juric, the coach of Atalanta, goes out and says, I think my goalkeeper, Marco Carnesecchi, has to stay quiet and talk less. And I think our forwards are not in a very good form and they're not scoring goals and they need to be better. I was like, wait, really? Both of them? The gruesome duo? They're both doing the same thing within days of each other. Okay. Horrible.
I think
so.
It's interesting how Juric's Atalanta is also, is undefeated.
And the wheels are coming off slowly.
Slowly.
We kind of knew this would happen. He's leaving his mark on Atalanta. He's getting fired by the end of the season. So are we getting to the game today?
Oh, I thought we were there already.
Did you know that in the last podcast I asked you what's going to happen against Victoria Pilsen Beer and Milan, and you were like, yeah, we're going to lose to Milan and draw with Victoria, and I'm like, you didn't realize.
We completely forgot about Sassuolo.
And whoever we play in 3 days, Parma.
Parma.
So Milan is next week. No, Parma. Oh. Don't confuse me. Don't fucking confuse me. I thought I looked.
Listen,
this up.
It's payback for all the stuff that you did in Rocket League, because you confused the shit out of me. I'm like, I'm gonna go, and there he goes. He's doing an aerial and. What the heck? I thought he was going to be like upfield waiting for a pass. No. And our whole back line's exposed. Yay.
I was so pissed at you for not being able to read my mind. All right.
Parma Wednesday. Yeah. Sassuolo today. Parma Wednesday. Milan. Yeah. Wow. We were like a whole two games off. Like, wow. Good thing we don't have like a comment section. These guys are on drugs. Don't show my work. They will investigate.
You said 1-1 against Victoria Pilsen, and it almost happened. Almost. I can't blame anybody for that second goal. On the first goal, Svilar should have done way better. Definitely should have done way better. I don't think he expect. Like, I think. Okay, before we move on, one last thing. Do you agree with Dybala said that we need to? Our team did not go into the game very strongly, and that they had underestimated Victoria.
I think that's Roma's problem in general. Is Roma thinks they're better than certain teams, and we've seen this happen before. I think it happened against. Did Roma play Sheriff Tiraspol?
Tiraspol.
I feel like they played them. Who else? Like Young Boys. There was another one. Oh, definitely. It was Slavia Prague.
Yeah, playing against, we got destroyed by
like,
them.
Just absolutely manhandled. And everybody's like, oh, it should be easy at Slavia. That's not the kind of mentality you should. Ludo Goretz is another one. There's teams out there and people like Roma have way too much quality. Fucking Bodo Glimt. They're giving like Champions League teams some problems too. And Roma's like, oh, these teams are beneath me. And these are all times that Roma's got punched in the mouth. It's like the players obviously have a mentality issue that, yeah, we should steamroll over them. No, they should be hungry to just absolutely like keep these players starved like wolves.
But this is again same thing that's been going on for many years, many coaches, many different players, and the only thing that stays the same is Pellegrini, Cristante, Mancini. It's the leadership of the team, and it's this mentality that we have, and it's rubbing off on players. Like this is when you say like this is when people say this player is really good. I wonder how many games it's gonna take him until he becomes a Roma player. It's like, we're not shitting on the team. Like, I've seen people say that to Chiesa. We're not shitting on the team or on our players. It's like, it keeps happening that somebody plays well, and then after a couple of games, you're like, what happened to them? They fell under the leadership, the mentality, the toxic relationship that our players have that comes from the three senators, which is why we want them out. I've heard arguments that Mancini is a fantastic leader. I honestly, when I hear this, it's like, do you know anything about leadership? We live in this era of positivity and encouragement, and Mancini is punching people in the face and screaming at them when they try to celebrate goals. Like, not screaming at them in joy. He's just like, I don't know. He was slapping Dzeko. Like, when Dzeko left, it was because Mancini was just going insane. When it was so many players. Like, do you remember Felix when he scored his first goal and like Mancini was slapping him in the face and like screaming at him to do something? I don't know. It's like, that is not a captain holding teammates accountable. That is a psycho just being weird. And whatever. I don't know. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of that. And it keeps happening that our team looks very, way too overconfident, very, very, very underestimating their opponents. And I think it was perfectly portrayed. And by the way, I don't blame Mancini. I've seen that as well, that people are blaming Mancini for the goal, for not running to cut the guy off. Mancini had to actually cover for the cross. So I don't blame him talking about the Victoria game, the first goal. I think just Sviller should have come out and reacted way better. But yeah, that's, I don't know. Start us off with today. What was the first thing that came to mind? What did you see?
The first couple minutes was just Sassuolo absolutely having their way with Roma. And I was like, oh, the Europa League isn't over, I see. Because upstairs I was about to disconnect from the stream because it just looked like Roma couldn't get out of their own way. They did eventually manage to pull it together. there was some good looks from Roma. They started to shoot more and get high quality chances. And who shot? Was that? That was Dovbik, right? No, he came on later. Who was it?
What?
Dybala, Bailey. Was it? Oh, no. It was Cristante's shot at Muric and deflected, and Dybala was able to get it in the. And that was like, what, the 13th minute? So, like, it looked pretty, really good. When Dybala scored, I said I take back all the mean things I said about him, and you said this is the most Gasperini's Atalanta moment that you've seen, where they just keep peppering the goal and try to just absolutely overwhelm, and it's like one of them has to go in. And that's pretty much what it felt like with Roma. Roma had 15 total shots and 8 shots on target, 5 big chances, and they missed 4. So they had I'm not a big, huge fan of expected goals, but they had 1.74 in the expected goals column compared to 1.06 from Sassuolo. And Sassuolo couldn't finish in general. There was some serious moves there where I was paying attention, and they just couldn't convert, which was good for us, but they could have had like two or three goals.
But they had a couple of chances where if Dovbik or Ferguson missed those, we would burn the club down. And they had like several of those. So I don't know. We got kind of lucky. Very, very lucky. The reason why I said that this is the first time that we've looked extremely Gasperini Atalanta-esque, it was kind of done with power. Like, Sassuolo had a couple of chances, and it's like Svilar just got on the end of that and just punched the ball away every time. Like, it wasn't even close. Like, yeah, it was a chance, it was a shot on goal, but it just looked like we had it under control. And then we pressured, and then Sassuolo kind of tried to get out of the pressure, looked shaky, and we just kind of looked like, you know, a child trying to run at you and just kind of using 5% of your energy. And like, I'm going to stop you before you hurt yourself. You know, that's the feeling I got. And then we scored a goal. It was just a power. It was like powerful take. I don't know who regained possession. I think it was Wesley who got the possession back. And it was like one fantastic play, and then he plays Cristante, who powerfully runs forward, a lot of confidence in his run, shoots at the keeper, kind of an okay shot, like could have been way better, but whatever. When's the last time Cristante ran at a goal? And then Dybala just like flies onto the ball, just smashes into the goal. It's like, holy shit, this is it. This was Duván Zapata and what was the other Colombian guy? I forget. Whatever. This is how Atalanta used to play. And that's that style of goals. So I feel like even though Sassuolo got a lot of chances, we kind of had this mentality of we won this game, you just don't know it yet. Like we got this. And a lot of things were working better than in the previous couple of games, in the previous like 5 games at least. We had a 3-5-2 with no Sola starting. It was just Dybala and Bailey with 3 midfielders, with El Ainaoui actually playing from the start, who would have been the game's MVP if not for Wesley. Who was your MVP? Did El Ainaoui do enough? Did Wesley just participate in everything?
I just noticed Wesley more, in my opinion. Like, Niall was all over the place, which is great. There was one where Niall like did all the work, passed to Cristante, and Cristante just shot it upfield to a Sassuolo player. And somebody in the comments was like, thanks for wasting Niall's hard work. Like, I really didn't want to point that out, but I don't know. Can we share MVPs? Because I feel like Niall and Wesley just were absolute dogs today. Both were hustling. Both had major contributions. Kept Roma in the game. Wesley should have had a goal. Niall was just all over it. Key passes everywhere. And I just really liked what I saw from the both of them. So it's a toss-up. I would have to go with, like, it really is either one, in my opinion. But, like, I don't know. It just depends on what you're looking for. Like, yeah. In my opinion, you could do, like, most valuable by you know, third. Obviously, Svilar has the defensive third on lock. But, you know, Wesley was up in the final third. And Niall was bossing around in the midfield. So, you know, it's really difficult. I don't know. I'd probably have to, like, as much as I want to give it to Wesley, Niall had to play with both two out of the three senators. So I'd probably have to give it to him.
To Niall?
But to Niall. Probably Niall.
The way I would put it is, I think Wesley was the MVP because he was just in everything, but LA now we had this breakout game where it's kind of hard for Gasperini to say that he needs to stay on the bench. I think this is two games in a row where he was just destroying stuff that our opponents were trying to do, and he was snuffing it out. He was very, very, very proactive, and he was just one of those workhorses that other teams have, and we're always like, why can't we have somebody like this? Like, that was telling how with this game. He was everywhere. And somebody said on Chiesa, does he give you Matic vibes? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it does. That is so perfect. Like,
it's just hilarious because Matic was on the other side, and him and the Dybala bromance was, like, really nice.
Yeah, Dybala kicked Matic and had a foul, and Matic was like, owie, my foot, oh no, it hurts. And then he tried to look serious. Elenau is just the player who's just, you can't see, it's not flashy what he does. It's never going to be flashy. It's never going to be like, it's clearly visible. Like, Wesley had a flashy game because everything he does was in attack, and it was just everything he did created something instantly. Whereas with LA Naoi, it's just kind of like everything he does, Sassuolo have to be like, oh shit, we can't keep doing this because that doesn't work. We have to switch strategies. And it's just kind of a macro versus micro, I think. And if you look at a close picture, Wesley was the MVP, and LA now we just had a game where he just came out and he was like, yep, I've arrived. This is my time to shine. And he looked effortless. I don't know. I thought it was two games in a row where he was just effortlessly good. What else? There was the Wesley goal that you mentioned. Should have been the Wesley goal, and Pellegrini also as well. So saying that Sassuolo missed a bunch of chances, I still don't think that they deserve to win. I think if everyone takes their chances, Roma still wins like 4-3 or 4-2. So there should have been really a couple more goals for Roma from open play. But you know what? I'll take it. It's Dybala's first goal from open play in, like, I don't know, half a year or something.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute since Roma scored a goal in open play like that. Dybala did something too. I forget what it was.
Free kick?
No. Like, he had a nice free kick that could have gone in. But no, he did something different. Maybe it was like scoring in Serie A. Let's see if I can find it.
You lost me.
I saw this earlier this afternoon, and I can't find it now that I want it. Dybala scored, but I don't remember what. Maybe it's his first goal in the league. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But. That's what it is. Dybala scores his first league goal since February to help lift Roma to Serie A summit.
Do you think Dybala looks slower and more passive this season, or does he still have those flashes of explosive play and just, you know, pure quality in controlling the game?
He is obviously not the player that he used to be. He's what? I think he's 31. Yeah, he's 31. And he has shown flashes of like what the player, the world-class player that he can be. Like the shot today, it was really difficult. I was really impressed with it. But he's pulled out class. I've brought it up before this season. I think he's a super sub, or you know, just play him in some limited minutes so that way you minimize the injury risk. Like he is a difference maker. He does show some explosiveness. I don't think that he what's the word I'm looking for? Not really like tones it down, but like I believe he gives it all out there on the pitch, and that's why I think he gets injured as much as he does. But
so here's a bit of a hot take and kind of a prediction. I think I think by the end of the season, Gasperini will be using. I mean, by the end of the season, at some point this season, Gasperini will start doing something that he's never done before. I think he will start using certain players in spurts and as a purpose, as an intended and strategic thing, because he obviously likes to tinker during the games. I think when you look at it, Cristante plays well in one half, kind of, and then phases out in the second. Pellegrini was, like, great for the first 10 minutes of his appearance today, and he played, what, 11 minutes? Dovbik was also really good in 30 minutes he got, or whatever, 40. Which was the weirdest sub I've ever fucking seen. Leon Bailey got subbed out 5 minutes into the second half. Well, just, why not do it at the half? Why not wait for like 55th minute or 60th minute? I don't know, it's so weird. Leon Bailey as well is just like this powerful thing you can plug in and just be like, go run circles around everybody, go play, have fun. So I think there's a lot of players that we have that can just be like extremely, extremely effective in very short spurts of like half an hour. And I think there is something to be done with that. And I think Gasperini is going to start toying with that more. Stefan El-Sharawi as well, same thing. But then he also needs to figure out what to do with, like, how to actually start the games and how to control them. And I do think that he needs to figure out that he needs to grow Pisili fast, because we play the best when Pisili is starting. He's the best pace controller on this team by far. And we don't have that. We start every single game very, very slowly, and we just look timid. So if we had this start that was very furious, very composed, very strong from the beginning, and keep up the tempo, and then in the second half, just bring on Dybala to finish them off. Like, just bring on Dybala, Bailey, and Pellegrini, and just be like, here, go, shoot. Like, just every time you see the goal, every time you're near the ball, just shoot. Do whatever the hell you want. That would be fucking amazing. And then we also have Divine Wrench coming off the bench as well, and we will have Angelino back soon as well. So, I don't know. I think this is something to pay attention to. Sorry. Getting tired.
I think it's like, what, 2 a.m., 1 a.m.?
Not even 1, it's 12:20. We had the winter time, whatever, change last night. I went to sleep at like 3 and woke up at 8, and I was like, fuck, why? And then realized, oh, hang on, I feel rested. Why is this? So one more thing I wanted to bring up, and it's kind of, it's not fun to talk about this when we're winning, even though the win is kind of terrible. Player salaries. So Roma has a massive player salary problem. Paulo Dybala, 13 million, and I'm talking about gross, so it's what they cost Roma. Paulo Dybala, 13 million, Gianluca Mancini, Hermoso, Pellegrini, Bailey, all have 6.5 million salary net. Gross. Then come Dovbyk, Cristante, Manu Kone, all above 5 million. Evan Ndika, 5.1. However, Evan Ndika gets more in net than most players get despite having same salary. So, for example, for some reason, Evan Ndika gets 4 million net, whereas Mancini has 1.5 million higher salary and has less than 4 million net. I don't know why this is, but it's some sort of a thing, like when we signed him and the thing that was happening with Italy having growth, whatever, I don't know. Basically, lower taxes. Then comes Milos Villar, 4.4 million, Stefan Lochavi, 4.6, Tsimikas, 4.6, Angelino, 3.7, Sula, 3.7, Wesley, 3.7, Ferguson, Pisili, 3.3, and then everyone else goes below 3 million. Eduardo Bove also 1.9 million, despite literally not being allowed to play. So that when you calculate that, the first 7 players cost Roma about 49 million. You add Tsimikas and El Shaarawy, I think. Yeah, El Shaarawy. That is almost 60 million euros. In 9 players, which is higher salary than Bologna and Atalanta. There is absolutely no way that we should be paying this much. Like, just no fucking way. This is way too much to be paying for players that don't really get these results. So that's my opinion, at least. But you, however, said, yeah, what's your point? So elaborate, please.
I'm asking, what's your point with the salaries when we're second on the table due to goal difference? That Roma is actually...
Come on, really?
Roma's actually performing the way that Roma should be performing with players on that salary. Like, Roma has had one of the highest wage bills before and consistently finishing 6th. Like, there should be some more production. That's like, if you're gonna spend that much, might as well have top 4 or something. So I was just sitting there like playing games, and then you hit me with all that. I'm like, what's your point? Why are you just throwing numbers around? And then you said, oh, it's more than Atalanta and or Bologna. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, Roma's always had a bloated wage bill. It is concerning. Like, I want to trim age, and I want to trim wage.
But we can, because we don't even need to trim the salaries. Why can't we get players who actually cost this much? This is way overpaid for all of these guys.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that they're worth that much, but I'm not the one in charge, so I can't make those calls. But I think that if we could get a better scouting department and try and do something in negotiations, I think like maybe we could attract some better players for cheaper wages. I don't know. But I agree with you that it's a completely bloated wage bill, and we're paying money to certain players who I don't think are justified, and players are getting, certain players are getting their contracts extended. It's like, why are you extending those players? Why not go after some other players or something? Are you seriously thinking that you're not going to get anybody in that position who is as good or better than them? I don't know. But like I see your point that it's just nasty that they have so many high paid players and some of them are just really underperforming right now. But
I mean, I can kind of see Bailey, okay, 6.5 makes sense. I can see Connor at 5.2 makes sense. Ndika, 5.1. Like, they're going to get this money from somebody else. Like, Ndika might even get more from a team like Barcelona or Real. But, like, Svila at 4.4, and then that's kind of it. Like, that's three players out of the first, 2, 4, 6, 8, 12? The first 12 players. There's like three that you're like, yeah, I can see why this is. How the fuck are we paying Mario Ramos 6.5? Mancini 6.5? Like this, we're talking about our strikers not performing. How about our defense not performing? Like, why is it that every single time the half-serious team comes up, they just score a goal and that's it? Like, why can't we just have clean sheets all the time? What if today's performance against Sassuolo was not, you know, brilliant, amazing, holy shit, everyone's great? What if this is just like Sassuolo is really bad to the point that even Dybala, Cristante, and Pellegrini look amazing? That even our defense led by Mancini, Celik, and Hermoso was fine?
I feel like that's really disingenuous considering that Sassuolo have scored 5 goals in their last 5 matches.
So, same as Roma? So they're not very effective.
No, I'm just saying like you're saying like what if Sassuolo is making Roma look good because Sassuolo is just that ass. I don't think that that's the case because they've played. They had 3 against Udinese. They had a goal against Inter. So. Yeah, it's. I would say they beat Lazio 1-0. We beat Lazio 1-0. So I would say Sassuolo is on Roma's level then. But
I'm just worried.
I know you're taking the piss.
No. I'm not. I'm serious. I'm just worried about what if this is just, you know. What do you call it? A fool's gold. Is that the term? Yeah, fool's gold.
What? That you think that you have something amazing and it's really not?
Yeah. What if this is just like, hey, this masks all the problems we had like not a couple days ago. And also against Inter. And like, Inter doesn't look very good. They look very beatable. They looked very beatable against us as well. Like, they just got destroyed by Napoli. I don't know. I'm just kind of worried that it might just be that we are, again, masking problems instead of dealing with them. So the wage bill is concerning because if you kind of think about it, if you look at salaries from other teams, their most like highest paid players in Napoli and Juventus and Inter and Milan are like 10 million. And then they have like a bunch of people at like 6 and 5, which is fine. But like, we're not going to pay Inter's and Milan's garbage 6 million. Like, we don't want them. We want to get rid of ours. So we're not a team that can afford to pay top players and just afford to throw away money. But at the same time, we cost too much for the production that we're getting and for the future that we're getting, because all of these players look above 30 years old. Cristante, Bailey, Pellegrini. No, Bailey is not. He's like 28, 29. Mancini, Dybala, Hermoso. All of these guys, El Shaarawy, all of these guys are either 30 or like 29 or something. So we're paying too much for players that we're not going to build around. So the wage bill either has to go down because we're just not going to be able to bring in these talents, match the talents of top four teams, or we have to replace them somehow with, I don't know, just to keep the wage bill. But who? With who? And then we'd have to build the team entirely from scratch because we're getting rid of the old guys? Like, I don't know. It just feels very, very, very weird to me. Mancini, 29 years old. When the hell did that happen? He's going to be 30 by the time the season ends.
It's so weird. Not like this is an age thing, but like not football related. I was looking at the NBA. Jaylen Brown just turned 29. I'm freaking older than Jaylen Brown by a couple months. Makes me feel so bad.
Ew. As long as you don't have to use the fake hair.
That's true. I don't need fake hair. I need a haircut, but I don't have fake hair.
Can you take what I just said and put it into an actual cohesive thought? Because you're good at that.
About having fake hair?
No. The salary thing and team construction thing. What did I try to say with that?
Get rid of the older players and try and do a money ball. Buy low, sell high, and get rid of some of the older players.
Go to Nico Paz and say, hey, give me Pellegrini's salary.
Yeah, that would be good. I would go definitely go for Nico Paz. But Jesus, Mancini is born. Oh my goodness. And Tsimikas, April 17th of 96, May 12th of 96. I feel like Pellegrini was right there too.
Where is
June 19th of 96.
Don't put these people in June. We are a team that's trying to be young, that's trying to have Andika, Zhukovsky, Svilar, Elainawi, Kone, Ferguson, Sole. But then the top players in our team, like, I don't know, 10 out of top 12 or whatever the number is, like, look it up. They're just old guys. So what kind of team composition is that? Like, why are we paying and playing the old guys? And rather,
there's no
why
country
are we
for
not
old men in the Roma.
I really need to see that movie.
Me too.
Why are we doing this? What is the purpose of just having so many overpaid players? How was Masada not able to get rid of any of these guys?
Maybe they're not wanted. Like,
yeah,
you're telling me like people are gonna line up for a Mancini or an Hermoso. Like, Mancini's worth 15 million, Hermoso's worth 7 million. And then the other ones are worth 7 and 9. You're like, I don't. Those players to me, that I don't even think the Saudi League wants them. Like, the last business we did with the Saudi League was we sent Ibanez over there. I think that was the only one. But Like, even they wanted young talent.
It was the João Costa or whatever, the Portuguese
kid. Oh, yeah. Yep. Like, they're after young, promising talent. But, like, these players, to me, feel like they could be, like, Championship League players. Oh, that's an idea. Maybe we should go give them the Wrexham. That's a good idea.
I mean, I can definitely see Mario Hermoso and Ferguson going to Wrexham.
Ferguson's on loan.
I mean, I didn't say that we'll sell him, but I don't know. I think today we managed to see the first inklings or inclinations of Gasperini's system, which is a phrase you hate. And I think there is a lot of work to be done. I think players still need to learn how to play and move. And I think that maybe even he knows that this season is just a wash, that it's a throwaway. And that in summer and January, we need to get rid of a bunch of players. Like, where I think Edmoso's contract expires. I think also Dybala's contract expires. I think Pellegrini's contract expires. I'm sure that he does. Tsimikas is not going to be returning. I'm pretty sure they're going to try to return into Liverpool in January. So we'll need to resolve the left back situation ASAP. I don't know. I just don't see this going on for too long. Are you worried about Kone?
No, not really. I think he's fine. I think he'll stay. And if he does leave, I think it'll be after the World Cup.
I don't mean about leaving, though, but actually a good point. I mean, are you worried about his gameplay?
No, not really. He seemed to be doing fine today against us. Well, he was moving around. I was watching him specifically more. And he seemed to be moving around more. He was keeping, when we were on offense, he was keeping passing lanes open. And when he was on defense, he was hustling and tracking down his man. So that was good. But I'm not concerned about him. I know that you brought this up when I've brought this up before. You've countered with, but these are professionally played players. They're not supposed to have an off time. But, like, it's ebbs and flows in form. And I think right now is an ebb for Kone's form. But I think it'll be okay. I think he'll be fine. He's still one of our better players. And, like, really, who else are you going to put in the midfield? Like, Kone and Niles seemed to have that down on lock today, so I was happy with it.
I don't think... I didn't notice him today, which is saying a lot because I did notice him in the previous games and he was lifeless. That'd be nice. That's putting it mildly. I don't know. We'll see. I think there's something going on with Kone, and I think he might be trying to force his way out of Roma. I don't know. I'm kind of worried about vibes on this team, and I feel like it's all Kone related. I don't think he's the cause of it. I think he is the result of the bad juju on the squad.
Well,
but yeah, we'll see. Winning changes things, right?
Yeah, and winning seems to, like, I don't want to jinx it and say, like, winning seems to be in the cards this week. But looking forward against Parma, who I believe are in dead last, I think it should be an interesting game on Wednesday.
What's your prediction?
1-0. Parma's actually 15th.
I'm going to say 1-1.
I think Esprini will
try to experiment again. I think he's going to be like, Elanowi, you play left back. Ndika, you play striker. Dybala, you play defensive mid. And yeah, everybody else, you know what to do. Go. And everyone's like, back pass? So
for the top four teams, Napoli play Lecce, Milan play Atalanta, Roma play Parma, and Inter play Fiorentina.
I'm genuinely pissed off every time people talk about who's placed top four and, oh my god, our rivals had a bad week, we need to make use of... It's fucking October.
Roma actually took care of it this time, because it always feels like whenever other teams drop points, Roma drop points also, and then we're just in the mud with whoever we needed to gain ground on.
It's a very long season, and it's all about the runs.
I know.
And runs will change, and winter is coming.
Brace yourselves.
I made a stupid reference that, yeah, to Game of Thrones that I didn't mean to.
Save the line, Bart!
I mean, winter is coming, as in, this is when most teams in Italy fall apart. This is just how Serie A works.
The winter is coming?
No! Stop trying to sign Kone de Winter. It's horrible. Wait, does he play?
Where well, we could have a Kone. We could have a Kone as a last name and a Kone as a first name. We could have like Kone.
Oh, he plays for Milan again.
Yep.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Let's just keep him away from Roma. I don't like that guy.
No, but apparently you like. Oh shoot, what's his name there?
Vistili.
No, the other guy. You asked ChatGPT to give some players, and ChatGPT kept picking the same player four times.
Piotr Zielinski, even though, yeah.
Later.
Bye.
Like man supposed to, with the desperation of a soldier. My lyric told ya, feel my heartbeat even colder. Fighting for my rights in dark and alleys like guerrilla warfare. Now I plan assassinations because the Western nation keeps us in ghettos like an urban reservation. I'll attack at red dawn, no time remaining on point. Military missionaries, how I vary. My mind is scary, preparations from crime. One time, feel me rain, so feel me rain.
Black rain, black rain, Citizen Kane.
Talking black rain, black rain,
black rain.
Peace to in the game, black rain,
black rain.
Through the struggles and the strain, black rain,
black rain.
Elements of mine,
elements of mine.
So feel the rain from behind, black rain,
black rain.
Peace to in the game, black rain,
black rain.
Through the struggles and the strain, black rain.